Welcome to the Launch Button Podcast, where we allot the secrets of successful entrepreneurs and real estate investors who found the courage to hit the launch button and take control of their destiny. Join me, Hugh Zaretsky, best-selling author, seasoned real estate investor, and serial entrepreneur, as we dive deep into inspiring stories and invaluable lessons that will empower you to break free from the ordinary and pursue your true passions. Are you feeling trapped in a job that drains your passion and leaves you yearning for more? Are you ready to accelerate your business and or real estate investing to take it to the next level? It's time to ignite your dreams and embrace the limitless possibilities that life has to offer. Get ready to launch into the life you've always desired by pressing the launch button. Welcome to the Launch Button Podcast, where we allot the secrets of successful entrepreneurs and real estate investors who found the courage to hit the launch button and take control of their destiny. Join me, Hugh Zaretsky, best-selling author, seasoned real estate investor, and serial entrepreneur, as we dive deep into inspiring stories and invaluable lessons that will empower you to break free from the ordinary and pursue your true passions. Are you feeling trapped in a job that drains your passion and leaves you yearning for more? Are you ready to accelerate your business and or real estate investing to take it to the next level? It's time to ignite your dreams and embrace the limitless possibilities that life has to offer. Get ready to launch into the life you've always desired by pressing the launch button. Welcome back to another episode of the Launch Button Podcast. We've got two of our favorite guests here. Woohoo! We never quite know where in the world they're going to be. It's like, where's Waldo? But it's, where's Chris and Carly? Looking for them on their next adventure. And here we are, finding them out in the middle of the wilderness. And if you haven't seen a past episode with them, you know, Carly comes all the way from Tanzania. She is both Italian and Tanzanian. And her family owns a beautiful hotel overlooking Kilimanjaro out there. So if you ever go on one of their adventures, you might get to meet the family while you're on that. Chris comes to us with many years as a military background, being a SEER trainer, which I finally officially know the definition, right? It's not just training the Navy SEALs. It's training all of the top armed forces and all the different branches. And I always joked around his job was to kidnap the Navy SEALs, right? And that's just my joke, but it's semi-true, semi-not true. But they've now launched their next adventure. They run tours all around the country for lots of expeditions and all around the globe. And we're all teaming up together. So, Chris and Carly, ladies first, obviously. Tell everybody a little bit more about your background and some of the fun things you've been up to.
Yeah, I mean, you did a fantastic job, too. Thank you. I'm originally from Italy. I was born in Florence. I moved to East Africa, Tanzania, when I was about 3 years old. And we were out there for about 20 years before I moved here to California in 2018. And then met this wonderful gentleman, Chris, over here. We became adventure buddies, and we traveled the world. Like you said, we do a lot of expeditions and survival courses all over the world. And yeah, that's pretty much my background. That's where I'm from.
She brings the finesse and the fun, and I'm the guy that does all the logistics background. So I was in the military for just about 17 years, survival instructor in the United States Air Force, like you stated. And I had the privilege of traveling the world, 33 countries, did all kinds of things with different military units all over the place, and walked through the Negev Desert, for instance, swam in the Dead Sea. And did a lot of things with hostage detention, prisoner of war stuff, captivity, and how to combat that and to escape out of restraints. Now that it's applicable, kind of what we do too. On top of the adventures, we do workshops for counter human trafficking, counter kidnapping for people. So,
awesome. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. I know you guys really enjoy one of the things you guys do is with Operation Black Site, and you've been doing that for many years. And that's sort of how we got introduced to you, or I got introduced to you a long way through that organization. So, tell everybody a little bit about what that survival training is all about.
Absolutely. So, after I got out of the military and got into business, I realized through networking and different business groups that I was in that a lot of people who are of affluence or influence put a little bit too much information out sometimes. They put themselves in harm's way, or they're unwittingly in harm's way because they have to for their job, for the network, of social media or whatever it might be. And I just really quickly identified through stories people were telling me at these business groups of, you know, that's interesting that you did that in the military. I was taken hostage by a boyfriend, by held captive by my husband, or I have employees who drive trucks for me and get held at ransom all the time. And quickly identified there was a need. And as in the business world, if you can solve a problem, especially one that's really painful, there's a niche there. And I love to serve. And if I can help people and I have the skill set, it was one of those things that I quickly stepped into a role, did with Operation Blacksite Mastermind. And then it snowballed from there. Like we were just in Texas last month, working with another group and helping them through their process of managing 50 hotels, educating their staff, and you know, surprise to them, you know, most 80% of commercial trafficking happens through hotels. They're a first line of defense, and they didn't even realize.
Wow, I did not know that. And I know, Carly, you also instruct at the Operation Black Site as well.
Correct. Yes, I help Chris instruct at Operation Black Site, and you know, wherever else we're called to instruct at. I think it's important for, I think when it comes to human trafficking, sex trafficking, a lot of women and children are targeted. So seeing a woman, you know, breaking out of restraints and talking about mindset and the will to survive may hit a little different for some people. And I just, yeah, just want to equip everybody, men, women, children, with as much information as possible, as many skills as we can teach them. But most importantly, it's the mindset. It always comes down to the mindset. You can learn all the skills in the world, but if you're not, you know, right up here, you don't know how to switch from panic mode to action mode, then the skills are just going to go out the window, right?
And that's what you guys were talking about, right? The mindset is so key when it comes to this, whether it's human trafficking, whether it's business. And that's why we're bringing you guys to New York, is we want to make sure that we're able to help people create that right mindset, especially with all the distractions that are going on out there in the world. So I know you guys have really dialed in a program about the will to survive and the triad. Want to talk to everybody a little bit more about what they're going to learn?
I'll start off with the triad and I'll leave the will to survive to Chris to talk about. But the triad is really how to best change your state, your emotional state, right? So your physiology, using your language, what you focus on, and that can be applied to, like you said, survival situations. It can be applied to business. We talk about the X, you know, getting off the X as Jason Redmond does. Whatever that X is, getting off of it requires using, whether it's your breath, right? If you're in a panic situation, if you're in a survival situation, what's the first thing you want to do? Take a deep breath, because that signals your autonomic nervous system that you're in the moment, not being mauled by a tiger, for example, and you can actually think logically and use your fine motor skills to get out of whatever situation that you're in. And then from there, what language are you using with yourself? Is it empowering? Is it, you know, demoralizing? You want to make sure that you're using the right language so that you can then focus on what you need to focus on to get out of whatever situation that you're in. So using the triad, physiology, focus, and language, that's the best way to change your emotional state.
Yeah, and it ties right into the will to survive. So the will to survive basically is being able to take that X that your life thrusts onto you and deal with it, sometimes in the immediate moment, sometimes it's for the foreseeable future, especially if we're talking about something like terminal illness, you know, cancer or a divorce or the bankruptcy. And it's like, you know, there's a cliche saying of, you know, the only way out is through. And dealing with certain things, but it's very true, and that is the will to survive. Being able to survive the day to day, the hard things, to get up every day, discipline, routine. You know, it's the idea of that no matter what, harder than you have to work you.
Out of the fight, you never give up.
And
And to that point, the will to survive. I don't know if your listeners listen to Andrew Huberman at all, but he talks about this brain structure that grows like a muscle. when you do hard things, when you do things that you don't want to do. And that is the seat of willpower. So the more you grow that part of your brain, the more willpower you have, the more resilience you have. So you have to keep at it. Like, you can do that's hard, go do it. Do things that make you uncomfortable.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, like, people always talk about, get comfortable being uncomfortable. It is a very David Goggins thing that he talked about way back from, I guess, his days in going through boot camp and stuff like that. Being uncomfortable, just keep putting yourselves in those positions and you continue to do that. And then the other thing that I've recently seen a lot about is a lot of people, like a marathon, a lot of people there are there to cheer at the beginning when you start something new and at the end of the race, but during those, 25.6 miles in between, those are the people that you want to surround yourself with. Those are the people that are going to be there through the process with you, that are sticking with you through that messy middle where there's not a lot of other people around. And I know you two both emulate that, sticking with people through the process, not just at the start, not just at the finish, but through the process, because there's going to be the ups and downs. And that's, a great compliment for how you both behave in the world and support your clients as you go through the process. So I just wanted to recognize you both for that as you're going on this journey. And that's why we're bringing them to New York for this big event on April 18th. So you guys get to meet them in person and you get to truly see people that are going to stand by your side all the way through the process. And that's what I love about what we're doing, to be able to go ahead and do that. And then I know, Chris, you've coached people through, pageantries, and you owned gyms before that, and Carly was in real estate. So, like, the wealth of knowledge that they have besides just what they've talked about, you're really going to get a chance to see display when they come to New York. So it'll be a great day for you guys to get here. We'll have the links down below after this to talk about that. But you want to surround yourself with people that are going to sit through the process with you from start to finish in that messy middle. So you guys have led lots of expeditions up mountains, all sorts of things. You've climbed Kilimanjaro together. There's been summits and there's hasn't been summits, right? There's been times you've had to turn around and not quite hit your goals and stuff like that. So what do you tell people as you're going on this journey of life that, even if they don't hit their goal, what's a good message for them to learn about that journey process?
That's it. You just nailed it. First, thank you for the compliment. I mean,
And right back at you.
yeah, you're also thick as thieves when it comes to, support and being there with people. But I think that also highlights the point to your question of it's not the goal. It's never about the goal. It's about the journey and what you learn on the journey. I don't climb mountains to get to the summit. I get climb mountains to do the hard work leading up to it. So I'm preparing to go summit and climb Denali in the month of June. I have no idea how long we're going to be on the mountain. We're planning for 30 days. We're going to willing to stay if it takes 45. But the time on the mountain, it pales in comparison to the amount of prep work. There has not been a day since I was asked to be a part of this team, six-person team, in preparation for this climb that I haven't spent 3 to 4 hours since. And that was beginning of December. So every day since beginning of December, I've spent 3 to 4 hours in preparation for this. That's what it's all about. The mountain, being on the mountain is just then I get to kind of enjoy the fruits of the labor, the actual poor journey to get there. Like the amount of knowledge I've learned, even though I've learned a lot over the years, my military career and all that stuff, but the more experience and knowledge that I have now just from study and preparation and the mindset stuff and thinking, like the mental exercises, that's the important part. And that's with anything.
Yeah. And to add to that, we have a Seneca tattoo that says, what you think is a summit is only a step up. And like Chris said, we all hear it's all about the journey, and the journey never truly ends. The continuous refinement of skills, you learn, you unlearn, you kind of, chisel away at what life is to make it what you want it to be. And it's n not going to look perfect. You're going to make some mistakes, but it's just a step up. You keep going. Like, there's no destination.
Yeah, that's great advice for people just to understand that, if you're so prepared, when you get to the mountain, you can enjoy it. And when you get to those summits, you can actually enjoy it because you spent so much time where you see so many people cram at the last minute for things, whether it's stage or a mountain, and they get on the stage and something goes wrong and they freak out and they can't handle it. But if you already prepared and you've prepared for all the possibilities, then it's like, who cares? Like water off a duck's back, they stay on course, they're able to do it, and those types of things. So it's very interesting to see truly the people that prepare in advance and the people that sort of fake it to make it. And I know that's a big thing in the world today. A lot of people are faking it too hard without having the experience behind it. We want to make sure that when we're on those stages, when you're on those summits, you've done the homework, you're ready for the situations and where everything sort of falls out. So that's awesome. So on that, and I know it's going to be Carly's first time in New York, right? When you come here.
Yes.
All
Yep, you're
right.
gonna pop my New York cherry.
So we're gonna pop your New York cherry. She said it, not me. First off, I just repeated it. We're gonna pop her New York cherry. We're gonna take her around and show her the sights as part of that. So those of you guys that are VIPs at our event, you'll have some ability to hang out with us and help pop Carly's cherry. It sounds so weird to say that we're all gonna do it together, but whatever.
Now you've
There you
repeated it
go.
three times, so you must like saying it.
So,
Oh my gosh.
and we have lots of inside jokes. You guys will get a chance to hear some of those as we go through that process. But that being the case, and it is a jungle here, right? It's a different type of jungle, and it's just that more that mental jungle, and that's why that triad and that will to survive is so important here. Because there's a great quote I just saw the other day. New Yorkers are actually very kind, but we're not nice. So we don't say it the way you want to hear it. We say it the way it is. And a lot of people, when they come to New York, can't necessarily handle that. But we are kind. We'll help you out. We're just going to tell you in a short, quick manner. So Carly will get, and she's already used to that. She already does that.
We
She's hung out with
should.
enough of us and Chris that, she's got that down. So,
I've adopted it.
yeah. So coming back on the business. Now, how do you transition from, Tanzania, Italy, being a little more laid back cultures, coming to the US, marrying a military guy that's straight to the point, sharp on the needle. How does that transition work for people?
Oh, man. I mean, for me personally, you know what? My mother is pretty New York, but Italian version. So I don't, it's a good question. You just kind of adapt. You
That
adapt.
daily.
Yeah, daily. Yeah, there's as long as you stay flexible in life and you adapt and you have your core values and your standards and it's easier to be flexible in life. I think. I don't know. I mean, this is we have a pretty laid back lifestyle even here in the US. It's I mean, I feel I don't know.
I mean,
How would you put
if
it?
anything, I see is she has a lot of passion, of course. And sometimes even for me, seeing that passion come out of her, it definitely is like, holy crap. So she has her own ways that she communicates and gets her opinions across, her feelings and stuff that come as a surprise to some other people. So I think as
There
a
you go.
foreigner, for her coming to the US, things that took her off guard, she also equally took people that kind of took people off guard, and it balanced itself out.
My sense of humor, I think, is a little interesting for people when they first meet me. I don't know. But I do think I'm a little New York at heart. Just again, like my mother, Italian version of that. Like I'm direct, I'm kind. I used to be too nice. Now I'm kind, but I'm not nice sometimes. And I think it saved me a lot of time and a lot of heartache and a lot of fluff that just doesn't need to be there. And yeah, I'm just I don't know, people get used to me after a while. I don't know how else to put it. But yeah.
You
Anyway,
have
you have
such a,
anything to add to that?
I think you have such a genuine quality about you. You don't do anything malicious or mean or anything, but you are straight like us New Yorkers, and that's why you got along with all of us New Yorkers real fast. Like we bonded real quick. Actually, all of us with Chris and everything. Like we also semi had the same sense of humor. It's direct, it's sharp, and you got to be quick. And if you're not quick, you're out. So, but we're also going to tell you how it is, whether you like it or not, right? We don't apologize for that because sometimes you need to hear that. And we all need to hear that from each other.
Right. You have to have thick skin. I mean, if especially if you know the people that you're hanging out with, the people that you have in your life, I don't want anybody willingly or make a joke that deeply pain me or deeply hurt me like that in your life. So if we ever do joke around about something and you get each other a little riled up, it comes from a good place. And that's the way that we show love to each other. So yeah, absolutely. And I think that goes back to what you were saying before. There's so, unfortunately, so many, I don't use the word fake people, but people with interesting intentions nowadays. And I've become a lot faster at weeding those people out of my life. Whereas earlier on, when I first moved out here, I was like, everybody's awesome and I want to be friends with someone and everyone's a good person. But that's just not the case. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But I try, let me, and I don't do
This is
anything
recording, right?
maliciously,
Yeah, it's
right?
recording.
Yeah. So I think that's where the directness comes into play now, is that I have different standards, and being direct and being is just a lot easier now. Like, I don't have to give people third, fourth, fifth chances. And I hope people don't do the same with me either. If I screw up multiple times, cut me out. I need to go back. So I think that's why us New Yorkers, or us and you New Yorkers, get along just fine.
Yeah,
I'm
like we're
considering myself a New Yorker already. I haven't even been here.
That's fine. We've adopted you too. With that, yeah, I think with all of us, what I love about our dynamic is we can give each other feedback, and it's taken in the right way. Like, hey, we're all gonna make mistakes as long as we own it, right? That's one of the biggest things. Like, we're all gonna mess up, but as long as you own it, then people are like, cool, and you learn from it, right? And that's one of the biggest things. I know, from watching you guys and vice versa, that we all sort of do. We know we're gonna make mistakes. We know we're not gonna handle situations the best way, but we'll take the feedback to be like, hey, next time, maybe do it this way, right? Or next time, do it this way, right? One or the other, depending on who it's coming from. Yeah. So what is one of, like, I think one of the big things that it's hard for us to convey is when you guys, as part of your training that you do, you actually do, whether you toss Chris in a car trunk and tie him up, or he duct tapes you, whatever it happens to be, is to actually see in person and get people to experience that, of whether it's breaking free from duct tape or handcuffs or those types of things. Like, it's hard to convey that. How would you convey that to people that have never met or seen that before?
It's a limiting belief to think that a piece of plastic should or could keep you held captive. It's the idea of somebody's using an object or a perceived restraint to control you. And all captivity and any of this stuff comes down to is an element of control. Somebody who has ill intentions or ill will is trying to overpower or to control over you. But when you really peel back the layers of the onion and you just, and for what it the psyche. If your mindset's stronger than your captors, your mindset's stronger than the situation or the circumstances, the mind, your mind and body will find a way. I mean, and it's been proven. Even people who beat cancer, who have been told they'll never be able to walk again, and now they're out walking, they're running, they're doing all these things. It's captivity is no different than facing these circumstances and finding, again, going back to the will to survive and having the right mindset to understand what am I actually facing? Like, what are the reality of duct tape is plastic, handcuffs are soft metal. It doesn't matter what it is, they restrain you. You can get out of it with enough time and energy. And then one thing we always talk about is, granted, outside of illegal, immoral, and unethical reasons, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. You're not trying to live. Now, you can be do illegal, immoral, and unethical things if somebody's trying to take your life or is trying to express that kind of control over you. But if we're talking about bankruptcy, divorce, all these other things, do it within your values, your beliefs, but it comes down to you are the only one that can truly accept no, or that it's done, or you can say, no, I'm not done, and I'm not willing to go out like this. I'm not willing to give up.
You
And
know,
that's captivity.
yeah, you're not gonna stop a piece of plastic. Going to happen to them until it does. So whether it's a home invasion, whether you're at a gas station, whether you're, you know, walking your dog, whatever the situation is, or all the US across the world, there's a lot of great things that happen, but there's also a lot of nasty things that happen. And yeah, just make sure that you know, a piece of plastic or rope or getting thrown in the back of a trunk isn't the reason why you don't live another day.
Awesome. Well, I think that'll be a great way to explain it to people and be able to show them a clip from here. Don't want to get into politics for a second, but I do just want to talk about the conflicts going on. And I know, Chris, you were involved in preparing for these types of things. With the jets being shot down and the pilots, right? What do you call it? Pulling the hatch and being trapped behind enemy lines. That was something that you were very instrumental in preparing for and training people for. Talk about a little bit of the mindset maybe of somebody that is trapped behind enemy lines. And sometimes it happens here in the US, right? Just being, like you said, if somebody's being kidnapped or home invasion or something like that, what is that sort of mindset and how do you sort of flip that around?
Yeah, now we're talking about immediate versus long term, and this is like an immediate threat to life, or the unknown, especially in a wartime situation. Because had he to be captured, I mean, who knows to what lengths or circumstances it would have escalated to. So, especially to get through something like that, they're subjected to training and mental exercises. Belabored to the point of it's when they eject out of the aircraft and they're underneath canopy and they're coming down to the ground, they're immediately running a checklist. It is very much a checklist. They're disciplined, and it doesn't matter where their feet hit the ground at in the world. It's just a matter of, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is how I'm supposed to do it. This is and it comes to that they follow. It doesn't mean it has to be perfect. It doesn't mean that it has to be line by line, or if they deviate because of circumstances they're facing, say it dictate as such. It just means that that the actions that they're taking and the script that they're following communicates to everybody on the outside world that has a need to know, or that has the ability, or is going to try to save them, or assist them, or get in the fight with them. It communicates what they're going to do, right? So we tell them, run the script. We train them to do the script. We train them, no matter where your feet hit the ground, this is what we expect to do, whether it's go to the high ground, go to the low ground, immediately evade away from your parachute and stash your parachute away and get 200 yards away, then make an immediate radio call. What the situation is, there's a script, and it might be a little bit different depending on the environment they're in, because we're going to take what we know. We're going to use our, so no different than business. We're going to take what we know. We're going to use it to our advantage. We have to build, jump off the cliff and build a parachute on the way down. A lot of times we're missing pieces and we're like, oh shit, how can I improvise? Who do I have? This guy jumped off the cliff with me. Guess what? He's got an extra piece, or we can use one for the two of us. Like, let's figure it out. And that's exactly what they go through. There were two of them. One of them was able to get re rescued away. The other one, it was a little bit of a scenario. But he, if you, in my community, the word that's going around for community, I used to be in the military. Everything I've seen everybody say is he did exactly what he was trained to do, and it is exactly why he is alive today. And that's what it comes down to, is you show up to work every day, you do have the discipline to do it the right way the first time, and you do it the way everybody knows to do it. So that way, God forbid, you get sick, something happens to you, somebody can step in and immediately keep running the play and make sure everything's going. And the mission still continues on. And that's it. It's like, even when we get hit with hardship or
tragedy or whatever it is, we get thrust into the X again. We know what, like, you're going to know what I'm going to be doing, and you're going to be able to assist me and help me the best way you possibly can. And that's the key to success in that situation. And that's how they were so successful. Is, yes, I was a part of that when I was in the military. I actually worked directly with the area of operation that they're going into. And we wrote back in 2010, 2011, and 2013, we wrote the book that's on the shelf that had the playbook that they were supposed to be following right now. Is it variance? Yes. Is there still commonality? Absolutely. I can guarantee you there's things that, that I was involved in that they're utilizing and doing, following through right now. But it's, and then once the book's complete, we're going to pull it off the shelf again, and we're going to go back. We're going to go look at it again, and we're just going to keep going. How can we make it better? How can we fine tune this product?
Yeah. Well, to add to that, I think that's why mental drills are so important, because and training, right? If you've never done any type of self-defense before, or even broken out of handcuffs, something as simple as that, you don't want your very first time to be when you're actually being taken captive, or you're in a situation like these guys. Like, you want the mental reps, you want the mental drills, you want to think through things so that when things hit the fan, you're not panicking, you don't know what to do, you have no plan. You should have a bunch of plans in place, and you should be able to stay flexible. Semper Gumby, is that how you say it? you want to stay flexible, and you want to keep that creativity. You don't want to stay, you know, what's the word, constricted to one plan of action. Like, you want to be able to deviate or pivot. That's the word. Pivot. Like in Friends, if you need to. So yeah.
You know what's funny though is there's a direct correlation to what you're doing with the teams with AI, and AI is new. There's so much that people are trying to learn from it, but I think the important part is learning how it benefits them and how they can utilize it to run the script that's most important to them, not just going out and just freely using it and making mistakes, which is good, but to the point of, okay, how much time are you not taking advantage of, to where if you had a playbook on how to run AI and how to best utilize it for what you most needed, I wonder what that would be like. Maybe they should come to
an AI class
workshop and find out how life could be so much easier. And again, you know, AI is a huge concern in what we do, but our education is AI, by far, everybody needs to use it, and you need to know how to use it, because if you don't know how to use it the right way, you don't know how to prevent it being used the wrong way.
Right. And also for a lot of small and medium-sized businesses, you know, we talked about the playbook and the reps, and you talked about also like succession planning, like how do I bring people up through my system so they can step in for me? There's not a lot of that in small businesses. It's only like, oh, somebody really gets, the key man gets sick, the key person gets sick, key woman gets sick, whoever it is, all of a sudden it's like, crap, what do we do? I don't know, they used to do it. Because there isn't that playbook, they haven't spent the time doing that. And that definitely is something that AI can definitely help with, to speed up that process of like, do that. You know, I know we did that on our team. We had some AI tests that we put people through, and they're like, oh, this person's creative. They're like, I'm not creative. And now all they do is love doing social media videos, right? Like, so there's all these different things that we learn about ourselves as we go through this that we can definitely challenge and change, and, you know, allow people to step into the roles. And that's one of the big things I know you had in leadership, Chris. I've been part of a men's group that you've run, and it was always like, okay, let's train the next person up so that they can be there in leaders, right? And Carly, you did the same thing for the women, right? It was like, hey, you're bringing people up along the journey. That was always one of my philosophies, was like, I want to be the guy sitting, you know, on the bench and watching everybody else run the plays. I don't need to be on stage or anything like that. I want to see everybody else succeed and be part of the winning team. And you guys have that same mentality. So talk a little bit about building leadership skills like that, both for men and for women, you know, in the different aspects there of why that's so important to test or put people in those situations.
Yeah, I mean, we're confined to what we know. And the easiest way to learn is through networking, communicating, and observing others go through things. But what we know in our experience is where we gain our leadership, and that's subjecting ourselves to different challenges, different situations, and then also having an open mind when people that rely on us, believe in us, trust in us, they're going through things too, to be able to say, hey, there might be a better way to do this, or have you thought about this? Or, you know, it's constructive feedback too. And feedback, I think, is one of the core tenets of leadership, is, you know, giving feedback, but receiving feedback and understanding that everything in life is feedback. And if you can be, recognize it and be willing to receive it, no matter how harsh it might be, you're going to gain the leadership skills from there, because then the calling comes, I've gone through this, I've stuck my head in the sand, I've made this mistake, let me help you not make the same mistake. And here's why: because you don't want to go bankrupt, because you don't want to get in a car accident, because whatever the circumstances are, if you're a person who is natural leader or put in a position of leadership, it is your responsibility to ensure the people that are coming after you don't make the same mistakes, and that they reap the benefits of all the experience that you've endured or gone through. I mean, that's the same with our kids. Like, you know, raise your kids the right way so that they don't make the same mistakes, and every generation continues to progress, and the family genealogy keeps getting better and better. That's what you pray and hope for. Granted, the world has a way of getting in the way of that sometimes, but
yes,
we do our best.
What about for women, Charlie?
Women, for the women. yeah, I mean, everything that Chris said, I think as a leader, you have to be willing to be adventurous and, like Chris said, learn sometimes by making mistakes. But you want to set everybody else up for success. Like, you want some type of framework, some type of organization within the community so that people can step up into a leadership role and they know what responsibilities are. They learn from the mistakes that you've made. Again, staying flexible, staying creative, but it's an adventure, that's for sure. There's a lot of learning involved, but I think setting people up for success, whatever that looks like with your small business, within your community, I think is probably the most.
Yeah, well, those two things that she does extremely well, but doesn't like see yet, even for herself with leadership, is the act of how good she is with empathy and listening skills. So one is, we know women have that intuition, which men doesn't have, and she's very good about listening to that, but also helping others recognize that for themselves with other women. But she's very empathetic, even though she's very direct and has high standards. I think that you recognize too that, like, because you say it to me all the way at time, it was like, your way isn't the only way, in their own way, and being empathizing with them to understand, like, okay, they need to know how to do it in their way. How do I show up to help lead them to their level of success the way they want to, or the way they feel it?
Because everybody has a superpower, and
there you go.
Everybody has super, and men are in tune with our intuition for the most part. But I use the example, like,
yeah, we do. It's them.
It's us. Two people could be looking at a number, right? I could be standing directly in front of me, and you're seeing a 9.
Seven.
So we're seeing inside joke. I'm seeing a 6. You're seeing a 9. We're seeing the same thing, but because of all the filters and our past experiences and our belief systems that we have, we see things differently, and we process, you know, raw reality completely differently sometimes. So we can be looking at the exact same event and seeing two completely different things. And I think that's important to recognize, not just in our community, not just in, you know, our small business, but in life in general. Just, it's okay to see things differently. People have their own experiences and their own superpowers. That, especially for women, like you said, we need to be a little bit more empathetic and listen and try to understand, instead of trying to impose your belief system on other people.
that goes, you know, for everything.
I think that goes both ways, right? Like on that, because it takes a while for us, everybody, to figure out that people don't think like we do, right? And they do have that. And sometimes in leadership, I heard a great thing. You have to be a curious learner, like in leadership, because there's constantly ways of doing new things, right? Yeah, I mean, Chris, you brought up AI, and so many people were like, AI is never going to do anything. And now it's here, right? So like the leaders that were like, okay, let's test it. There's a great story with the Polaroid company. When the digital camera first came out, right? Everybody was doing, or Kodak, sorry, Kodak, when they first came out, because everybody was developing film, and Kodak's actually the one that developed the digital camera. But they told their people, that'll never catch on. Everybody's got to use film forever. And now Kodak, that was a consistent, top 50, top 100 company traded in the US at millions and billions of dollars, is now out of business because they didn't keep learning, right? They hit that plateau and said that. So I think that's a great way to talk about. And so when you guys come to the event on April 18th, you'll have that ability to do that. And I found this, which is the Nepal
Oh, cool.
guides that I owe you guys, and I've got the map right here. So when you guys are here, make sure it's been sitting on my desk. It's literally right there. So the next time I saw you, we've got that for your next adventure. So whether you want to go on adventures, there's a trip coming to Italy, there's always Kilimanjaro coming up. So there's And safari adventures that we'll be talking about, and all those abilities to get inside opportunities and inside deals to go on those types of trips, as well as just learn about the mental mindset of the triad and the will to survive. April 18th, make sure you're coming on down. You get to meet them live in person. And then we'll be doing a lot more announcements and a lot of things coming out that we'll be doing together. And as you can see, they're constantly on adventure, and it's hard to pin them down, but we got them coming to New York. So show up, be here, and enjoy the journey. And what I love about their smiles and the different things that they do is they're always launching into new opportunities, into new atmospheres. And we never quite know where we're all going to meet in this country or in the world. So it might be in Tanzania, it might be here in New York, it might be on the West Coast, but we'll see everybody soon. Have a wonderful day, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Launch Button Podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Love you.
Bill.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. See you soon.
Thank you for joining us on the Launch Button Podcast, your gateway to unlocking your true potential and pursuing your passions. Don't let the journey end here. For more empowering insights, valuable resources, exclusive content, and free giveaways, visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com. Thank you for joining us on the Launch Button Podcast, your gateway to unlocking your true potential and pursuing your passions. Don't let the journey end here. For more empowering insights, valuable resources, exclusive content, and free giveaways, visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com. At The Launch Button, we're dedicated to helping you break free from the ordinary and embrace a life filled with purpose and fulfillment. Dive deeper into our episodes, access bonus materials, and connect with like-minded individuals on our website and our private community group. Are you ready to take the next steps towards your dreams? Subscribe to The Launch Button Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and never miss an episode. Remember, the power to transform your life lies within your grasp. Press the launch button and soar towards success. For more updates, behind-the-scenes content, and exclusive offers, follow us on social media, join the conversation using hashtag TheLaunchButton, and share your journey with our vibrant community. Thank you for being a part of the Launch Button family. Together, let's ignite our dreams and embark on this journey together of growth and discovery. Visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com and let's continue to launch your greatness. See you there.